us watching. Psalm number 70. Thank you, brother. Let's turn our hymnals to Psalm number 323. Psalm number 323, More About Jesus.
Thank you.
song of your choice.
All right, if you need a bulletin, go ahead and slip up your hand, go to Adam's Green one. As always, you've got the service times. This is there in the upper left-hand side. We'll be in 2 Kings chapter number 12 this Thursday. We've got the church-wide soul winning, salvations, baptisms, and offering totals below that. Don't forget the Donut Sunday next Sunday. So that's going to be December 4th in honor of those celebrating in the month of December. And we've also got the homeschool field trip to Shamrock Farms, which is going to be a week from this Friday. So if you're planning on going to that and you haven't already spoken to me, please do so. Those that already have RSVP'd with me, I'll get with you sometime before then about exactly how we'll work out getting up there. But there's also the homeschool field trip to the Arizona Sonora Desert Museum. So if you want to participate, if you've got school-age children, they don't even have to be homeschooled. If you want to participate, please do just sign up on the back there. That's open to everybody with school-age children. On the back, also don't forget there is the Christmas Eve service coming up, our annual candlelight service. That's going to be on, obviously, Christmas Eve, which is a Saturday this year at 7 p.m. And you know the drill. We'll read the Christmas story. We'll sing a few of the traditional carols. And it'll be about 20 minutes long. But it's a good service to invite folks out to. So if there's anybody you want to get in church, or, you know, people are kind of open to that kind of thing this time of year. They're more, people who maybe wouldn't go to church are a little bit more open to going around the holidays. Let's go ahead and count up the soul winning, going back to Friday the 25th. Is there anything from Friday? And I know we had the one yesterday for our group. Anything outside the group? Was there anything with the group today, Sunday? Three? And then, yeah, that's it. We can't, no one has a crystal ball. Nobody knows what's going to happen Monday or Tuesday. No. If I would, I would say I perceive thou art a prophet, right? But that is going to do it for announcements. We'll go ahead and sing one more song before we get into preaching tonight.
Yes, song number 51, Where We'll Never Grow Old, song 51.
Never shall die. 'Tis the land where we never go.
this time we'll pass the offering plate as it goes around. You can follow along with me as I read from Ecclesiastes chapter number 5 tonight. That's going to be Ecclesiastes chapter number 5. Ecclesiastes chapter number 5, we'll begin reading. Thy foot, when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth. Therefore let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. But it is better that thou shouldest not vow than that thou should vowest and not pay. Shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin, neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands? For the multitude of dreams and many words, there are also diverse vanities, but fear thou God. If thou seest the oppression of the poor and the violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province, marvel not at the matter, for he that is higher than the highest regardeth, and there be higher than they. Moreover, the profit of the earth is for all. The king himself is served by the field. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what good is there to the owners thereof, saving the beholding of them with their eyes? The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. There is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely, riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. But those riches perish by evil travail, and he begetteth the son, and there is nothing in his hand. As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. And this also is a sore evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go. And what profit hath he that hath labored for the wind? All his days also he eateth in darkness, and he hath much sorrow and wrath with his sickness. Behold that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink, and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun, all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. For he shall not much remember the days of his life, because God answereth him in the joy of his heart. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Dear Lord, again, thank you for the opportunity we have to be in your house. I pray that you would again meet with us tonight. And Lord, that you would help us to be blessed for having been here for the preaching of your word. We pray that you would again meet with us in Christ's name. Amen. So in Ecclesiastes chapter number 5, I'm just going to look at the first couple of verses there where it says in verse 1, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thy heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon the earth, and therefore let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. And it's that last part there that I get the title for this evening's sermon, A Multitude of Words, A Multitude of Words. In the Bible, we are warned continually over and over again about the dangers of having a multitude of words. That when we speak a lot, the more we communicate, the more we talk, the more opportunity there is to sin. Okay, and this is a major topic in the Bible. When we start to talk about the tongue, words, communication, this is a very significant topic in the Scripture. If you would, go to Proverbs chapter 10. Proverbs chapter number 10. When you get to Proverbs chapter number 10, keep a bookmark there. We're going to be in Proverbs quite a bit tonight because, again, this is, you know, we're just scratching the surface tonight of all the things, all the scriptures that talk about the tongue and the mouth and talking and communication and evil speaking and all of the, just the whole the whole topic. You know, we're just going to look at a few things. And really, I'm just going to make two applications tonight and then, you know, because it's just such a broad subject. But I'm emphasizing this in the beginning because this is a very important topic. that we need to be careful with our words. I mean, we see it here in Ecclesiastes. I know you just went to Proverbs, but I'll remind you again. It says that we ought to be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, that we should not what be rash with our mouth. You know, we shouldn't be hasty to utter anything before God. What he's talking about is be careful about the things that you say. You know, in the context of Ecclesiastes, I believe he's referring more to about vowing a vow, obviously. But there is a concept there of what, therefore, let thy words be few. You know, we shouldn't be people that just let things just come out of our mouth, you know, without, considering what it is that we say. The Bible says there in Ecclesiastes 5:3 that a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. You know, we know who a foolish person is and who a learned person is by the things that come out of their mouth. You know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, the Bible says. You know, we know what kind of a person you are by the kind of things that come out of your mouth. You know, that's true for all of us. Look there in Proverbs chapter number 10, verse 19. It says, in the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. Meaning when there's more speaking, when there's more words, when more things are being spoken, there is a tendency for there to be sin. Sin is something that is not going to be wanting. You're going to have different types of sin that come up, you know, through a multitude of words. The more we talk, the more sin there will be. Because the Bible tells us, and if you would, go to James chapter 3, that the tongue is a world of iniquity, that it is something that is set on fire of hell. Okay, all these things begin with the mouth. But it goes on and says there, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. So there's this theme throughout Scripture when it comes to, you know, our mouths, that it's better to refrain your lips, to not be hasty with your mouth. It's better to not say anything, because what tends to happen is that the more we speak, the more we open up the opportunity for sin. And maybe not necessarily sins of the flesh, but sins actually of the mouth. There's a lot of sin you can commit just through the things that you say, how you use your mouth, how you speak, the things that you say. Your communication, you know, can lead to a lot of different sins, okay? The tongue, words, this is a very significant subject in the Scripture. Look there in James chapter 3, it says in verse 1, probably the most famous passage on this topic, "Brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body." So that's a really interesting verse just right there, that if we manage not to offend in word, we are a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. You know, a lot of times if we just work on our words and the things that come out of our mouth, a lot of other things fall into line. Look there in verse 3, it says, "Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths, and that they must obey, may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which they, though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth." So he's saying, look, consider the fact that we are able to control these great beasts like horses with a bit. Consider that we are able to control even a massive ship driven with fierce winds with even a small rudder. He goes on and he explains this analogy. He says in verse 5, "Even so, the tongue is a little member." You know, it does, you know, just like that little rudder steers a great big ship, even so our tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. It does a lot, even though it's just this little member in our mouths. "Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth." You know, sometimes we'll see and hear about these different forest fires and things like that, but you know what? They all started with just one spark. You know, whole states will lose, you know, millions and millions of acres of forest in some fire, and we're just amazed at how big it is and how it can even just block out the sun with the smoke, and we can, you know, have to deal with that smoke for many, many miles away. But what's more amazing is that that great fire, which has caused so much damage, was caused by just one little spark. And he's saying this about our tongue. You know, our tongue is the same way. It's this little member, but it can do so much damage in a person's life if we're not careful with it. And that's the warning here. And so you can see why this is an important topic. You can see why the Bible just talks about the tongue a lot. It has a lot to say about the subject because, again, the tongue kindles a great matter. Verse 6, it says, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. Like, that's some pretty strong language about the tongue. I mean, Paul and James and others, they preach pretty hard about some other sins, don't they? But this is some pretty strong language when it comes to your tongue. He's saying it's set on fire of hell. For every beast, kind of beast, verse 7, and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. We ought to be very careful about this little member that we all have called the tongue and how we use it. Goes on and says in verse 9, therefore, therewith we bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. If you would, keep some, well, actually, just go over to 1 Timothy chapter number 5. We're going to go there next. So again, you can see just from these few passages, just this one passage alone, really, in James 3, how important it is that we learn to conduct ourselves in this area. When it comes to the things that we say, the things that we choose to say or don't say, is very important. You know, it's set on fire of hell. Your tongue is full of a deadly poison. You know, if we were running around with a syringe full of some kind of, you know, deadly poison, and like a literal deadly poison that could just end someone's life, we'd probably be very careful with it, wouldn't we? We'd be very careful not to, you know, plunge that into anybody, or maybe we would find somebody that we wanted to plunge that into. I don't know. You know, I'll let you decide. You know, but we would be very careful with that. Just like if we, you know, many people carry weapons, they carry guns. You should be very careful with the loaded weapon. Why? Because it's a deadly thing. And it can inflict harm. And we would all say, oh yeah, of course. You know, we should all be careful with those things. But the Bible's warning us, look, that we're all carrying a loaded weapon, so to speak. That we're all carrying around something that is full of deadly poison, and that is our tongue. And this is why it's so important that we learn to conduct ourselves in this area. And I'm only going to cover two, you know, aspects of this. This is going to be a whole series on the tongue, all the different ways that people use their tongue, you know, to cause damage, to do harm in their lives and the lives of others. I'll read to you again from there at the end of James 3. It says in verse 9, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men. Saying, well, what's so bad about the tongue? He said, well, therewith curse we men. You know, we use our tongue to speak evil of other people often. So what do we see here? What's so potentially bad about the tongue is that it can be used in a very malicious way. It can be used to do a lot of harm. The Bible says in Proverbs 12, I'll read to you, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. But the tongue of the wise is health. You know, there are those that speak and their tongue is like a sword. And a sword is a weapon. A sword can cause great damage. A sword can end lives. You know, obviously a sword is a very, you know, serious weapon. Especially, you know, in the hands of somebody who knows how to use it. And there are those that speak like the piercings of a sword. There are people in this world that have learned how to use their tongue like a sword. They know the power of the tongue. They know that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they know how to use it. And they'll go out there and they'll say things and do things and talk about people and talk about situations in order to get what they want out of life or get what they want out of somebody else, to manipulate people with the words of their mouth. And they use their tongue in a very malicious way. That's what we're seeing about the tongue, is that it's a deadly, it's full of deadly poison, that it's a set on course of the fire of hell, that it's like a sword. And this is something that we all have. So obviously, you know, there's the intentional, you know, things that we would think about. Just think about all the intentionally malicious things that people do with their tongue to cause harm. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time with this, but, you know, one thing that comes to mind would be flattery. You know, that's probably something maybe we should spend a whole sermon on. You know, people will use flattery, they'll use the tongue in order to manipulate people, right? And again, I'm not going to preach a whole sermon, I just want to touch on this. What about another, you know, intentionally malicious way in which the tongue is used besides flattery? Well, another way would be, you know, lying. Lying is probably one that we would come to think very quickly. If say, hey, how can a person use their tongue in the wrong way? We might think, oh, well, lying. You know, saying things that are false. How about railing? you know, trying to ruin somebody's reputation by accusing them falsely, right? These are very intentional ways that people use the tongue in a malicious nature, right? That's how they would do things, you know, intentionally, right? But what we don't often think about is that, you know, there's also the unintentional consequences that come when we don't, you know, learn to rein the tongue in and to control it and to keep it under wraps and to control it and not let it control us. Another, you know, so some unintentional ways would be things like gossip, you know, because people will just start to kind of talk sometimes, and then without even realizing it, they turn into what they think they're talking about is just harmless, but it actually turns into gossip, where they start to talk about other people, they start to talk about them in maybe in a negative way, right? This would be, but you know, that's not what they're setting out to do, but this is something that people just kind of fall into. It's still malicious. It's still wicked. It's still evil. It's still sinful. You know, but we're probably a little less likely to be a flatterer. We're probably a little less likely to be somebody that goes around and tells lies or railing, you know, which is a sin that'll actually get you kicked out of church. You know, we might not go so far as to do those things, but things like gossip and just kind of idle talk, these are things that we are more easily slip into. It's just part of our human nature. So we might have these other things down. Well, I'm not lying, I'm not railing, but if we're gossiping, you know, that has some maybe very unintentional consequences that you might not have thought of. And what we need to learn to do, because our tongue is this sharp sword, because our tongue is this unruly evil, we have to learn to be discreet with the things that we say. And we should use discretion in the things that we say. You're there in 1 Timothy chapter number 5, look at verse 11. It says, but the younger widows refuse when they begin to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry. So, of course, it's talking about the qualifications to be for a widow to be taken into the church, into the number. He's saying, refuse the younger widows because they're going to wax wanton against Christ and they're going to marry again anyway, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. He's not saying they're going to lose their salvation, he's just saying that they're going to have judgment in their lives. He goes on to verse 13 and says, and withal they learn to be idle, okay? Wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also and busybodies. Okay, so he's talking about what's the sin that the younger widow potentially could fall into, or, you know, just younger women in general, those who are idle, those who don't really have anything else to do, they're unmarried. Well, one of the sins they could fall into is being a tattler and a busybody. You know, a busybody is just somebody who has a lot of things to say. It's always just talking and always just having, you know, always talking about this person and talking about that person, talking about, it's just being a busybody. We all know what being a busybody is. And he clarifies it very, at the end here, speaking things which they ought not. You know, there's some things that should just not go said. They should just go unsaid. Not every single thing that comes into our mind needs to be expressed. Not everything that we think or feel needs to be expressed to another person. But this is a sin, and it appears to me in Scripture that this is something that maybe ladies are a little bit more prone to. You know, and when guys do it, you know, we might just think that that's kind of a feminine trait when a dude does it. When he's just, you know, is always talking about other people. Because it is a sin that, you know, obviously some men and women have different proclivities. They are going to be more prone to do other sins that the other gender isn't, okay? Men have other sins that they are going to be more prone to fall into. This just happens to be one that it seems to me is one that maybe ladies struggle with a little bit more. To be a busybody, to be speaking things which they ought not. And notice the solution there in verse 14. I will therefore that the young woman marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan. You say, what's the harm in a little gossip? You know, what's wrong with the girls getting together at the coffee clatch and, you know, and just talking about so-and-so or some situation or some relation, just commenting on the other people in their lives? What's wrong with that? Well, the Bible says they're turned aside after Satan. The Bible says that tongue is full of deadly poison. Because that will actually is going to bring harm into the lives of other people. Because newsflash, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself, it doesn't usually just stop there in your little circle. You know, things that get said make their way out. And eventually the people that were being talked about, you know, find out about it and they get hurt. Look, I've seen this so many times, over and over and over and over again. This happens repeatedly, okay? Why? Because people sometimes don't realize what it is to, or they don't learn how to conduct themselves in this very important area in their lives, to learn to what? Be discreet, as it says in Titus. If you would, go to Titus chapter number 2. And again, the solution to not be a busybody, to not be speaking things which you ought not, is to get married and bear children. Because it all comes from idleness. And if, you know, a lady is fulfilling her God-given role of being a wife and mother and bearing children, she's not going to have time to sit down and watch the soap opera or the daytime talk show. I mean, isn't that what the world's into? Isn't that how they spend, you know, the daytime television? They just sit there and it's just whole programming where it's just nothing but being a busybody. People just talking about just the lewdest, just, you know, most personal details of our life, just broadcasting it for millions of people to see. That's called being a busybody. You know, and you sitting there and tuning into that, you know, that's just as wicked to sit there and derive your entertainment from a bunch of, you know, people talking about who knows what these days. I don't even want to bring it up from the pulpit. You know what I'm talking about. You know, that's why I praise God, you know, for my wife. I was trying to think about it as I was writing the sermon. I don't think my wife has ever been caught up in some social media scuttlebutt somewhere. You know, she's never been caught up in some, you know, some scandal or some thing where, you know, people had to get dealt with over the things that were said. You know, probably one, because she has enough integrity to not be like that. But two, you know, another major reason is because she has 5 kids at home. You know, she doesn't have time to sit there and be in the group chat and to be in the Facebook group and to be on this social media and that social media and to just da-da-da-da-da-da-da all day long. You know, because, and that's important, you know, because when we're idle, that's when we get into trouble, whether it's, you know, with the tongue or whether it's some other area in our life, whether it's, you know, some other sin of the flesh, whatever it is. When people get idle, when people aren't busy, that's when bad things start to happen. That's when sin starts to creep in, because we get bored and then we just kind of entertain ourselves, you know, and a lot of times that's through a multitude of words. Well, through a multitude of words, there wanteth not sin. The Bible says, he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and that his lips that they speak no guile. No guile. A little bit of guile? No. No guile. Maybe just a little bit. Maybe just a little bit of, you know, guile. Can I just talk a little bit of trash? Just a little bit of smack on somebody? No. The Bible says no guile. If you love life and want to see good days. Okay, look at Titus chapter 2, verse 3. The age of women likewise, that they be in behaviors, becometh holiness, not false accusers. There it is. That's one of those things that can come about from the tongue, accusing people falsely, not giving them much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet. Look, we have to quantify these things. What does it mean to be discreet? It means to have discretion. And this area of the tongue would mean knowing what's appropriate to say and what isn't. When it's more appropriate to just hold our peace, to keep our opinion to ourselves, or to go ahead and express it. You know, and there's a lot of different ways we could apply that, you know. To be discreet, to be chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So how does a person, you know, how do we, you know, get specific here about being discreet? What does that look like when a person is going to be discreet when it comes to this area of the tongue? You know, we've seen that, you know, right here in the chapter, he's saying not false accusers, right? Now, if you're going to accuse somebody falsely, it means you're going to be talking about someone else, aren't you? You're going to be busy saying things about other people to other people, right? That would be so to be discreet in that area means you would not do that. And obviously, look, we're all going to talk about other people in some way, shape, or form. Hopefully, we're not accusing them of things. Hopefully, we're not talking poorly about them. You know, maybe we're talking about how they're doing, you know, in some area in their life. Maybe we're expressing some concern that we have about them, you know, something to that nature. Not every time we talk about somebody, obviously, it isn't wicked. But in this context here, you know, it's showing us that one of the sins that people can fall into is that they talk about people in a very negative light. So how are you going to show discretion in this area? You know, ask yourself this. If before I say something about somebody, would I say this to their face? You know, this is the nuts and bolts of the sermon. You know, this is something that, you know, you can take home and actually apply to your life. You know, how do I practice discretion? How do I bridle my tongue to keep myself from falling into sins in this area? Well, before you talk to somebody, and look, in today, this day and age, this is more relevant probably than ever. Because back then, in Paul's day, in order to be a busybody, you had to go from house to house, right? As it said, wandering about, idle, wandering about from house to house, speaking things which they ought not. You know, it's a lot easier today to be like that because you don't even have to leave the comfort of your own living room to speak things which you ought not. You can just pull out the phone, send a text, put up a post, you know, send an email. There's all these ways now we can just communicate so much easier. We can wander about digitally from house to house, so to speak. So this is even more relevant. But here's the thing. Before you say that, before you text that, before you post that about somebody, you should ask yourself, would I say this to this person's face? And if you can't bring yourself to say it to their face, then it probably doesn't need to be said. You know, this is something I remember very early on in my life. I think I've expressed this before from the pulpit. I'm a Baptist preacher. What do you expect? I'm going to rely on the same old illustrations and stories. So I remember being a little kid, and someone talks, you know, some other little kid said something about my dad, something negative. I can't even remember. Probably something like he had a doo-doo face or something. You know, something probably completely harmless, right? And I was mad. I mean, you're talking about my dad. So I ran and told my dad, said, you know, so-and-so said this about you, Dad. You know, imagine a grown man being told about what some 5 or 6-year-old kid said about him. You know, he immediately stood up and was ready to just, he was out for blood. No, I'm kidding. He just looked at me and said, well, I didn't hear him say it. He said, it's not that big a deal. You know, tell him to come say it to my face. You know, that'd be another application. If people are going to talk smack about us, you know, we could probably let it roll off our back if they don't have the guts to say it to our face, right? But, you know, it just goes to show you that if you're going to say something, you should ask yourself, would you be willing to say that to their face? Because I guarantee you that little kid probably wouldn't have been willing to come down and say that to my dad's face. It would have been, you know, yes, sir, or whatever. He would have been very respectful. What about, because you have to ask yourself this, what if that person hears about what you said? Because this has a way of happening. And the Bible talks about this. I should add, you keep something in Ecclesiastes. Just go there real quickly. Go to Ecclesiastes chapter number 10. You know, we like to think the things that we're going to say in private are going to remain private. But things have a way of getting out. And we don't always know that the people that we're communicating with are going to honor that. And again, this is very important today because what we put out there in the digital world stays out there. People screenshot things all the time. I see it all the time. All the time people do this. People are tracking what other people say online. You know, for better or worse, whatever. I'm just saying it happens. I'm just saying it's out there. You know, whether it's, you know, you're going to say something, put some post out there, post some kind of a picture out there. You know, something compromising, better be careful because once it's out there, it's out there. The digital imprint is permanent. And you don't know who else saw it, who else downloaded it, who else screenshotted it. You think it's just you and your few friends talking. You know, one of those friends could be in there just sharing it with everybody else. That kind of thing happens all the time. You know, and then you get these cases of internet bullying. I mean, young people have literally committed suicide over some of the things that get out. Things that they thought were sent in private, that were sent in confidence, said in confidence. They get out and they're so ashamed, they're so embarrassed, they think their life's just over that they even go so far as to commit suicide. That happens, folks. Because these things have a way of getting out. That's why this is how you show discretion in that area. Ask yourself, what if this got out? What if what I'm about to say or send is going to get out? What if that person heard about it? How would I feel about that? You know, that's a pretty good, you know, way to, you know, decide whether or not it's something you really want to say. Look at Ecclesiastes 10, verse 20. Curse not the king No, not in thy thought. He said, don't even think bad things. And curse not the rich in thy bedchamber. I'm in the privacy of my own home. It's just a private conversation. I can just go ahead and curse this person. For a bird of the air shall carry the voice. So how is it going to get out there? A bird of the air shall carry it. You ever hear that expression? You know, you ask me, how did you hear about that? A little bird told me. Well, a little bird told me. What they're saying is, oh, you know, through the grapevine. Things just get out there, don't they? And that which hath wings shall tell the matter. So the Bible's not saying that birds literally go around telling people things. But it's the expression, it's this idea that what you think you're saying in private, when you're cursing or thinking evil of somebody, you know, that kind of thing tends to get out. That's why he says in James 1, I'll just read to you, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak. And then he says this, slow to wrath. Notice how, you know, speaking and wrath are in that same sentence. Like, what, they're related to one another. Going back to the idea that what people often use their tongue to do harm. Going back to what James goes on to talk about later, what we read, that you know the tongue is a world of iniquity, that it's full of deadly poison, that it causes destruction, that there are people who use their tongue like the speaking of a sword. It's like a sword when they speak. They're intentionally doing damage. He's saying, look, be slow to speak, be slow to wrath, because these things go hand in hand. You know, people repeat what you tell them. People repeat what you tell them. You know, that's something that I have to be very careful about, obviously, as, you know, somebody who is a minister, somebody who often people come to in confidence. You know, and let me just go on the record right now. When people come to me in confidence, it stays in confidence. You know, there's things I don't even share them with my wife. People come to me in this church, you say, why wouldn't you share it with your wife? Because it's none of her business. You know, even if I might even have, you know, this might shock you, have negative thoughts about somebody. You know, I might even think, you know, something negative about a person. I don't even express that to my wife because I don't want to taint her towards somebody else. You know, why? You say, what is it? It's called discretion. It's called considering the feelings of others. It's called, you know, being somebody who can be trusted when you have something to bring to me. You know, I'm taking the time to express that because sometimes I wonder if people, they wonder about whether or not they can come to me about things, if they can trust me. Yes, you can. But here's the thing, I have to be real careful about that because once that trust is broken, it's gone. It's over. You know, once something that is told you in confidence gets out, it's like you can never trust that person again. And things have a way, not everybody's like that, folks. We all should be, but, you know, a lot of people aren't like that. You know, you tell them something in confidence, and now they got some juicy little bit of gossip, you know, and they're just got burning lips, and they just got to go out and share it with somebody. They can't keep it in. I mean, people have told me things I just, frankly, have forgotten about. People come to me and tell me things, it's like, I don't go, oh, man, can't wait to tell somebody about that. You know, often there's some things I don't want to know about. You know, I'm glad that there's other people in our ministry that deal with things so that I don't have to hear about it. I'm not saying I won't. I'm not open to that. Of course, it's part of my job. I'm more than glad to do it. I'm just saying, you know, that's called having discretion. The problem is that not everybody has it. People will go ahead and repeat things. I mean, I'm sure we've all had somebody come to us and want to repeat something. Hey, did you hear about what so-and-so, this or that? I'm sure we've all had somebody who's tried to get our ear and tried to get us to listen to some hot little tidbit of gossip. You know, and there's a way that we're supposed to handle this. Go to Proverbs 25. And look, if you've ever had this happen to you, if you're a person who has any kind of discretion, that's probably made you feel incredibly uncomfortable. You're like, I don't want to hear this. Well, let me tell you some very personal information about somebody else. You know, how do you handle that? Well, you can't just go, because once, you know, okay, well, I didn't say anything back. That's the problem. You need to shut that down when that happens. Because that person's, once they think that they've got your ear, now they're going to come to you again. When the next time they get some little, you know, hot little tip of whatever is going on. Oh, I know so-and-so. They'll let me tell them. And they're just going to fill your ear with a bunch of stuff that's none of your business. And that you hopefully don't even want to know. How do you shut this down? Look at Proverbs 25, verse 23. The north wind driveth away rain. Right? That's the analogy. Just like a strong wind drives away rain, so doth an angry countenance a backbiting tongue. Because that's what, you know, that person has, is a backbiting tongue. When you're going around telling people things about other people, when you're talking smack about somebody to somebody else, you're backbiting. And this is how you deal with somebody who has a backbiting tongue, with an angry countenance. You don't go, just try to get through the awkward situation. All right. No, I don't want to hear about it. You know, here's what I've heard people do. Unfortunately, I've never been in that position where I've had to do this, but it's, oh, really? Well, let's call them. Oh, they're right over there. Let's get them over here, and you can tell them that. Because they're not really trying to, you know, they're not concerned about the person they're talking about. They just like to backbite. They're idle. They haven't learned discretion. They haven't learned to rein in their tongue. You need to shut this down. This works, folks. I remember that we hosted people a long time ago, years ago, in our house, and this couple came over, several couples. And I'll never forget this, and I know my wife's not here, so if she's embarrassed by the story, you know, she can talk to me about it later. But this one couple came over, and the wife took the other couple, and this is in our little apartment, into another room, and started talking smack about somebody in our church. And my wife overheard it. And my wife didn't just walk away. She just heard this preached recently about the angry countenance. And she went right up to that lady and said, "Don't you be coming over to my house and talking smack about anybody." I mean, she got right up in her face. I can't remember all the details. Like I said, it was years ago. But she was like, "I wasn't." She's like, "Well, you calling me a liar?" I mean, it got intense. She told me about it later, right? But you know what? That person never said anything negative about another person around my wife ever again. This works. Look, unless you're somebody who wants to have somebody fill your ear with a bunch of stuff that's none of your business and listen to a bunch of scuttlebutt and gossip, you need to adopt this right here. You know, when somebody comes and starts sharing personal information or talking smack about somebody else, you need to furrow up the brow and get mad. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with telling somebody, "You're way out of line here." You know, you just need to keep that to yourself. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. That person will never bother you again with that kind of stuff. You know, we don't want to be people that just go around talking and listening to other people, just talk about other people. You know, I heard this quote a while ago, and it's something that's kind of stuck with me. It says this: great minds discuss ideas. Average minds discuss events. Small minds discuss people. You know why some people, just all they have to talk about is other people? Because they have a small mind. Because their intellect has not been expanded very far. It's true. You ever talk to somebody who's done a lot of reading and learning and studying? They can tell you for almost to the point where it's driving you up a wall about all manner of different subjects. They can sit there and talk to you about this subject and that subject. They can talk about so many other things other than some other person. What somebody else is doing or what so-and-so said or whatever. Because they've expanded their mind beyond just talking about other people. It's a small-minded thing. You know, look, if you struggle in this area, read a book. "Well, I just don't have anything else to talk about." Read a book. Go learn something. You know, pick a subject and study it, and then you'll have something else to talk about besides other people. So that's one way in which the tongue can be used maliciously, right? This is another way, just one way in which in a multitude of words there wanteth not sin, is when people start to just talk about other people, okay? The only other thing I want to talk about tonight before we end, another way in which the tongue is used to sin. Another way in which, in a multitude of words there wanteth not sin, is when people begin to pour out foolishness out of their mouth. Go to Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs chapter 15. You should be in Proverbs all night until the very end, because we're going to be in there a lot. Because the Bible talks about this subject a lot. And what do I mean by pouring out foolishness? What I mean by that is when people speak without any filter. They don't, you ever hear that expression? You need to screw your filter on and not just let everything pour out of your mouth. The Bible says in Proverbs 15, verse 2, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. Foolish people, they just sit there and just foolishness just comes flowing out of their mouth, just nonstop. There's just never a quiet moment. we need to be people who use knowledge aright and not be people who just pour out foolishness. And this is, I'm going to end on this last point here, but this is just something that irks me. This just drives me up a wall. I don't know if you could call it sinful or not, probably, but it drives me nuts when I see people who speak like they know something about a subject and they know nothing about it. It just smacks of pride when people start talking about like there's some kind of authority on something and they have like maybe just a surface level understanding of something. But they want to talk about like they just know everything about it. It's like, and they don't. And then they're saying things that are just completely off base. And it drives me up the wall whenever I hear that. And look, this is everywhere today. This is all over the place. People just, why? Because there's a lot of fools out there who don't know how to just shut up and not talk about things that they don't know anything about. It's funny, the people that know the most about things usually do the least amount of talking. The people that put themselves out there as some kind of expert and talk a lot, they're typically the people that know the least about a subject. It's better just not say anything than to pretend that you know something. This is when you should be careful who you listen to. Because there's a lot of people out there today that will just, whether it's behind a pulpit even, all these different, just all kinds of just worldly podcasts and things out there. The world is just full. You could just every waking moment you could be listening to some other person. And look, I'm not saying that every person out there that's saying something doesn't know what they're talking about. But it's when you know that person isn't an expert in some field and they're acting like they are. It drives me nuts. You know why it drives me nuts? It's because other people are going to believe them. Other people are going to go, well, that's what I heard. And it's going to influence them. There are obviously people out there who do know what they're talking about. We have to go and find those people. The Bible says in Proverbs 18, the heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge. And we should seek knowledge. We should seek people that know what they're talking about. You want to know about a certain subject, there's obviously people out there that have specialized in that field. But that's usually the only field that they're specialized in. There's a lot of things that I like to listen to. There's a lot of information outside of the scripture that I've liked to learn. I don't like to talk about it very much up here because I'm not an expert. I don't know everything about this. I know it's going to come as a shock to you, but I'm not a psychologist. And I'm not an expert in the field of, neurology. I don't know the intricate workings of the human mind. I'm not. This is to be my field of expertise right here, and that's the limit of it. But when I do listen to people about that, I go listen to somebody who knows what they're talking about. People who have, are educated, who have spent like their life studying that topic. Those are the people that are worth listening to. And look, we're just living in a soundbite culture where it's just a soundbite here. Well, I heard this and I heard that. Just in the area of diet, like nutrition and diet and things like this, there's just all kinds of information. You start to get into things like, physical health and things like that. There's just all these conflicting views, all this stuff. It's a minefield. And a lot of it's bogus. And it's frustrating. That's why it drives me nuts, because a lot of times it's people who are looking for a solution. They're looking for help. They have some kind of an ailment. They're trying to understand something, trying to fix something in their life. And they run across some bozo who's just blah, 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 just putting it out there, just repeating something. And it's like, well, what if that person believes you? And then, but you didn't know what you're talking about, and now they're worse off than when they started. That's why it drives me nuts. Because I care about what people, you know, the decisions are going to make based on the things that they hear. And again, it goes back to this idea that, you know, people who really have knowledge, you know, they don't just advertise that. It's something you have to go find. You have to draw that item. And go to Proverbs 20. I know I refer to this verse, but this is a verse that I think about often. I think about this verse often. Proverbs 20, verse 5. And I know you've heard it. Proverbs 20, verse 5, it says this: counsel in the heart of man is like deep water. The people that have the real understanding, that have counsel, that have something to offer you, that counsel is like deep water. It's not right there on the surface. People are just quick to give you their opinion. People are just quick to just tell you what they think or what they heard. You know, that's not deep knowledge. That's probably not good counsel. You know, the people that really have real understanding, they've dug a deep well. They've taken the time to dig a very deep well and find the real counsel. They have it. And it says that a man of understanding will draw it out. Meaning that kind of knowledge has to be drawn out of those people. People that are just quick to just tell you whatever they think, it's typically not the best advice. It's typically not worth really taking note of. You know, people that are just volunteering unsolicited advice all the time, you kind of get a reputation for that after a while. But, you know, people that really have something to share, it's something that has to be drawn out of them. And I already talked about this recently, because people with deep counsel know that you should not speak in the ears of a fool. It's pointless to just go around telling everybody everything you know, because most people aren't going to disregard it anyway. Good sources of information have to be sought out. Don't be somebody who just pours out foolishness. Speak with knowledge. And if you don't know something, don't speak. You say, Brother Corbin, why are you so quiet all the time? I mean, besides now, because I don't know anything. You know, at least, you know what, maybe I can't speak intelligently on a multitude of different subjects, but you know what I'm not is a source of bad information. At least I'm not a source of misinformation. You know, we don't want to be people who speak without knowledge, because people who have knowledge, they're going to see through it and they're not going to appreciate it. When they hear bunk advice, when they hear, you know, fallacies being repeated and they actually know the truth, they're not going to appreciate it. And then they're going to mark you as somebody who just says stupid things, who just says things without speaking, or says things without thinking, rather. There's another quote I read. I like this one, too. I think about this one. Better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak and remove all doubt. You know, I'd rather have somebody look at me and say, you know, that guy doesn't talk much. He must not know much. He must be a fool. Than me to actually try to talk about something intelligently that I have no understanding about, and the people say, oh, nope, he is a fool. I guess I was right. He really is an idiot. Right? And they, you know, who said that? Lincoln or Twain? I don't know. The debate rages on. But there's a Bible verse that goes along with that. Go to Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17. It says in verse 28, Proverbs 17, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise. You know, this guy might, maybe a fool, when he shuts his mouth, they might say, maybe this guy isn't as dumb as I think. But then as soon as he opens his mouth, he's like, no, he is as dumb as I think. I can't say for sure this guy is an idiot until he talks. Right? And a fool, you know, out of his mouth, he just pours out foolishness. It just comes pouring out. It says, and it ends there, and he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of understanding. Right? Still waters run deep, as they say. So, you know, what's the application here? Think before you speak. Think before you speak, in both regards. You know, before you say that about somebody, before you listen to that bit of gossip, before you reply to that, think about how you're going to reply. Think about whether or not you should reply. Before you offer your opinion, before you offer, you know, your take on it, before you offer, you know, some advice on some subject, think about whether or not you have any business even saying it. Or what profit is there in me saying it? Look, I do this all the time, folks, because I'll be honest, this, I know this will come as a shock, I struggled in this area. You know, I used to say things and it was just like, people give me this look and I'm like, why are they looking at me like that? Because what you just said was stupid. You know, I used to be, you know, I still am somebody who jokes, but, you know, I've tried to really rein that in myself. You know, I used to be one of those people who just say things just to kind of mess with people. And I was just, well, I'm just joking, you know. Until someday, one day somebody said to me, well, they don't know that. You shouldn't say that. I said, why? I'm just joking. They don't know that. They don't know that you're joking. Now they are going to think you're an idiot. Because what you just said was stupid. And all it was meant to be funny, it just made you look dumb. And not everyone knows you're joking. I was like, oh, that makes sense. Or how about this? Sometimes you just shouldn't say anything just out of concern for other people's feelings. And I do that all the time. Even if it's something that, like, I think might even help that person. You know, if I say this, that might cause them to think about X, Y, and Z. But then I think to myself, but I'll probably just end up hurting their feelings unintentionally. So you know what? I'm just going to keep that to myself. That's called having a filter screwed on, folks. That's called discretion. That's called thinking before you speak. We're not all perfect in this area, but we should all be getting better at it. We should all work to be better at it, to think before we speak. The Bible says in Proverbs 29, verse 11, a fool uttereth all his mind. Just everything that comes to mind just comes right out of the mouth. A fool utters all his mind. Anything he thinks, he says. No thought for the consequences, no thought for how it's going to be perceived, no thought for how it's going to affect somebody else's feelings, even if it's, you know, something that they might run with. Oh, well, I heard so-and-so say it. You know, yeah, but what you didn't realize is that person is a fool just uttering all their mind. It says, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. Go to Proverbs chapter 19. Or excuse me, Psalms chapter 19. Psalms chapter 19. You know, we need to think before we speak. Because there, you know, there is power in communication. You know, the things that we say carry weight. There, you know, the tongue and speaking and communicating, there's a lot of power there. I mean, what's the greatest, you know, spiritual force on this earth? It's the Word of God. What is it? Words. These are holy men of God that spake as they are moved by the Holy Spirit. There's force there. There's power in words. The pen truly is mightier than the sword. You know, the words that are communicated, ideas, these are powerful things. That's why we should be careful about what we say. Psalms 19, look at verse 14. It says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. That's a great prayer. Well, I don't know what to pray. Pray that. God, help me to say things that are acceptable in your sight. Help me to think things. Because again, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If we struggle in this area, it's really a heart issue. If we find ourselves just saying things we shouldn't be saying, it's all coming from here. We need to start meditating on other things. It goes back to what I was saying earlier about, you know, small minds talk about people. If that's all you have to draw on, you need to get something else in there so you have something else to talk about. Let the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Before I say this, what would God think about what I'm about to say? Would this be pleasing to the Lord? If the Lord were standing here and he heard me say this, and by the way, he is. By the way, he hears everything we think. God knows everything. Should I go ahead and say that? Should I go ahead and think this? Think before you speak, because, you know, communication has real power, for better or for worse. And I'll just read to you from Matthew 12. Jesus said that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. Then he says this, "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." I mean, people's eternal salvation lies in their own tongue. Why? Because if thou shalt believe in thine heart and confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's a lot of power in words, even to the point where a person's going to be condemned or justified in the day of judgment by the things that they say. Did they confess Christ or not? So we got to be very careful about the tongue. And look, again, the tongue is a huge topic in the Scripture. Huge. Anybody who's read through the Bible knows this. These are just two areas in which, you know, that I address tonight when it comes to the tongue. And it's a major topic. Why? For good reason. Because it's a powerful thing. And that's what we saw in James. So what's the application tonight? Is to learn to think before you speak. Learn to think before you speak. Why? Because it will impact those around you, for better or worse. Therefore, you know, when it comes to this topic of a multitude of words, let thy words be few. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Lord, again, thank you for the words that you've given us. Lord, you've certainly given us plenty to meditate upon. You've given us plenty to think about and, Lord, to talk about in your word. There's plenty of good, wholesome things, great concepts and ideas and doctrines that we could discuss. And Lord, we could expand our minds and our hearts, Lord, just meditating upon the Word of God, memorizing the Word of God, thinking upon the Word of God. Lord, I pray help us to do that. And Lord, help us all to guide and direct our tongues, Lord, to not let them, to help us to not be as fools, Lord, who just let things just pour out of our mouth, Lord. I pray that you would just bless us as we go. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we'll sing one more song before we go.
Song number 420, it's a song in the air.